There is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes himself to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
So quickly, let me share what we have for today's Bible study. Father, speak to us in a clear way in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No matter how short this teaching is, Lord, let it pierce and enter the soul of everyone here in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So, the teaching series for the month of May was titled, or is titled, Firm Foundation. And we began from an apologetic standpoint, trying to lay a foundation for the Christian faith. The idea behind this teaching series is, if a person gets born again today, where does he begin his journey from? Or if a person decides to believe in Jesus, where does he begin from? And so, the plan I had, which God has set me on, and all of us together, is May, June, July. It is FEM Foundation all the way. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So there will be different topics, but all of these topics put together is just simply laying a solid foundation for any sincere believer who wants to be devoted to Christ. Amen. And so we started by answering questions like, is there a God? Why trust the Bible? Why should I trust the Bible? And then we answered, did Jesus rise? And then midweek service last week, we talked about what we call This is the Gospel. We're introducing the subject of the gospel. Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
See, I want us to begin to take midweek services serious.
Yes, sir.
I know we take it serious, but we can take it even more serious by showing up, encouraging people to show up. Because you see, Sunday is not enough.
Yes, sir.
That's the obvious truth. If the devil is on your matter 7 days a week, we should be on our toes. Are you with me? 25 hours per day and 8 days a week. We should be on our toes. Amen.
Amen.
So on Sunday, we talked about what we called the gospel essentials. And we emphasized God's righteousness, the righteousness of God, and the unrighteousness of man. And then we talked about the issue of justice and Jesus being our substitute. I know this may not be your conventional way of hearing the gospel, but you see, one thing that I don't want to happen in New Breed is for people to become what I call cliche Christians. Do you know what's a cliche Christian? The person knows everything head-wise, but nothing is in his heart. He does not really understand it enough to become a conviction.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
See, I don't know history so much, but the little I've read about history, let me tell you something. People have gone to church. Many people have gone through the church. But you see, many people have not really understood what Christ did. I am telling you, many people have been going to church. Many people have been involved in many Christian or religious activities. I was talking to some of our leaders and I told them, do you know that Adolf Hitler was once a Christian? The famous Adolf Hitler. In fact, he was baptized in church. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Many people have gone through church, but very few really understand what is going on. So I made up my mind that as a pastor, I would try my best to explain, to flesh out what we are really doing here. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
What really is Christianity? What really did Jesus bring to us? And by the time we are quite kind of done with this whole FEM Foundation series, somewhere around July, August, you will discover that many people have been churchgoers, few have been Christians. Many have been churchgoers, very few are Christians. Very few have really touched this thing. Okay, so we are still on the good news. And so on Sunday, we began by talking about the fact that the gospel begins with the fact that God is righteous. God is righteous. And the righteousness of God is so high that even the best of man's righteousness is called a filthy rag. Are you with me? Do you know what that means? So if you can think of the best well-behaved person, the person that you feel is the most aligned or straight, it cannot even match up to where God is. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So think of how righteous God is in comparison with how depraved man is. In theology, one of the terms they use is called total depravity. Man is so depraved, but God is so holy and high in righteousness. The only response to such depravity is judgment. Are you with me?
Yes,
it's judgment. So you see in Romans chapter 1 from verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Are you seeing this? "As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, look at verse 18. Everybody read verse 18, 1, 2, 3, go. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Are you seeing this? So in verse 17, it's telling you that in the gospel, you see the fact that God is righteous. And then you see the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Are you with me? What you see that was done to Jesus is the wrath of God, the vengeance of God against sin, against wickedness, against all the darkness in this world. God poured it on Jesus Christ. And we explained on Sunday that how is that good news? It is good news because you are the one that sinned, and we were the ones that were, we ought to carry that condemnation. We are the ones that were supposed to take that judgment, but in order for God to set us free, or in order for God to be right to set us free, God put that judgment upon Jesus Christ. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Like I said, you must not be a cliche Christian. People can hear what I just said, and they are used to it. He took my place. See, it is not a joke. It's not a small thing. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So he's telling you that when you see Christ on the cross, when you see the scourging, the beating, the gruesome torture that was given to Christ, that is the wrath of God revealed against unrighteousness. But guess what? It was not for you. Are you with me? It should have been for you, but God found a way to make it right for you to escape it. Praise the Lord. And also, it is for all those who reject the gospel. It is for all those who reject. So now, when a person says, "I don't need Jesus, I can pay by my own self, please take away all this whole preaching thing from me," you know what you are saying is that I don't need Jesus to pay for my sins. I can endure the wrath of God against sins by myself. Are you with me? Are you with me? The point of this teaching series is to bring you to a point where if you are not born again, you must be born again. And number two, if you are born again, it should bring you to a place of consecration. Now, what will you do for the one who took your place in death like that? What should you do? When we tell people, serve the Lord, respond in service to God, some of them think that when the pastor is saying, join a service unit, what they are trying to say is, help us build our empire. Are there pastors who have turned churches to their own private business? Yes, their own judgment is doing press up in heaven. Are you with me? What some people think when we are saying, surrender to the Lord and give your best to the Lord, is come and work for the pastor. But when you study the Bible, that's supposed to be what is called the response of the saved. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5. Let me explain. Since I've come this direction, let me talk about it a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 14. Okay. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So he's saying the love of Christ, the understanding of the love of Christ motivates us. It has constrained us to do the things that we will not naturally do. Are you with me? The love of Christ has compelled us. The love of Christ motivates us, because we thus judge, or better put, because we have come to understand that if one had to die for all, or if Christ had to die for all, then all of us deserve to die. Do you get me? Then in verse 15. Everybody read verse 15 with a loud voice. 1, 2, 3, go. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Glory. So what is he saying here? Because Christ died for all of us, we that live now, who are the we that live? Those of us who believe in Jesus. Are you with me? We that live should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for us and rose again. So it means that after you get born again, you don't live unto yourself. So the reason why we surrender to God and we serve God and we are passionate about the things of God is because we are no longer living unto ourselves. See, it's just like using you again. The example I always give. Let's assume, God forbid, it will never happen. Amen. It will never be your portion. You know, the other time I was the one that needed rescue. This time is you. So let's assume he was a notorious armed robber. God forbid. It will never happen. And the police had arrested him and brought him for firing squad. They put him on a stick at a particular spot, or I think they do it at the beach close to where sand is. And then they have prepared him to die. Are you following me? They have tied him there like this. And they tell him, say your last prayer. And he has said his last prayer. He said, do you have anybody to just tell, to call, and tell them that you are about to leave the realm of the mortals? And then you've done all of that. And then they cock the gun. Bah, bah, bah. Then the officer gives the command and says, soldiers, are you ready? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. At the count of three, shoot. 1, 2. You are expecting to hear three. And the bullet comes into you and you go. Then you hear, stop. You just see one major general just comes and say, release him. Release him now. And everybody say, yes, sir. Bah. They release him. Then the man says, somebody else come. Then the man calls his son and says, stay there. And while in your presence, they shoot his son. And the man says, come and stay with me. I'll give you some things to do. Can you wash my car tomorrow morning? What will you do? What? Somebody said, you wash it with your life, right? What will you do? You can't sit down. What will you do? No, no, you'll be arguing. Say, you know, my life, my choice. Eh? The reason why people still negotiate serving God is because they don't get what was done for them. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. But now, I was the one to receive that wrath of God, but somehow I escaped. Somehow I escaped. Are you with me? Say after me, this is the gospel. Glory. God made a substitute. His justice was still performed though, but a substitute was made for me. However, there is still more to the issue of the gospel. Today, if you look at the poster, what we saw there was love and eternity, right? The gospel part two, love and eternity. I will try my best to be as fast as possible. So I will start from the concept of eternity before going to the concept of love. Now, one of the things that makes the gospel of Jesus Christ a big deal or the biggest deal is the fact that it doesn't just affect your life on this earth. It is something that affects your life for eternity. Are you with me? And truly, if the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news, it has to be eternal in nature because the impact of sin is eternal in nature. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes,
when a thing is called eternal, they are saying it will last forever. How old is Nigeria? From the day, from when we had our independence till now, how many years is this country? You see? 65 years, but this year we'll make it 66 years by 1st of October, right? Is it?
Yes, sir.
66 years, right? Let me read something for you. Psalms chapter 90, verse 4. Psalms chapter 90 from verse 4. Everybody read. I want to give you a picture of eternity. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Do you know what a watch in the night is? You know, if you read the Bible, you will see the Bible says in the New Testament, he came at the fourth watch. A watch in the Hebrew clock is 3 hours. So the first watch is between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. The second watch is between 9 p.m. and 12 a.m. The third watch is between 12 midnight and 3 a.m. The fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So when the Bible says, and it came at the fourth watch in the night, it was between 3 a.m., are you with me, and 6 a.m. So when he's saying that 1,000 years is but as a watch, 1,000 years according to this verse is like 3 hours to God. Have you ever had a dream before that looked that it was just, to the dream felt very short, then you woke up, it was like 4 hours. Has it happened before? Who knows what I'm talking about? You slept off and you had a very short dream, or you just had a dream and to you, it was like something that just few seconds, and you saw something. And by the time you woke up, you had slept for like 4-5 hours. In the realm of eternity, time is nothing. So, time, is you are trying to trap eternity and calculate it. See, the more I study these things, I feel like kneeling down to beg people, be born again. Do you know what happens to a person when he crosses this world and you are not in Christ? Do you know what it is to enter a Christless eternity? Meaning, after 1,000 years of suffering, you are still starting. It's 3 hours. After 1,000 years. So, Nigeria, there's something I asked you. With all the pain that we are crying, people have suffered. Do you know how much people have suffered in this country? And we are like, Nigeria, why? You know, I've not recovered from the people that they killed. They beheaded somebody on live on TikTok. Live stream. Some bandits, they do live stream. Behead person. And just 66 years of suffering, it's aggravating us like this. 1,000 years is 3 hours. I hear what I'm saying. If you have friends that are not born again, You have to start praying for them. It's not to say, it's not my business. Because let me tell you, eternity is not a place where people feel like you won't know yourselves. You will soon know everything. The only difference, you will, just the same way you know, we know ourselves here. You will know yourself very well. There will be places in eternity. It's just that we will know that it is not it. Just the same way you and your friend travel, and you meet, let's say you meet in London, or you meet in the US, and you know it's not Nigeria, but you are still alive. That's how it will be. Guess what? People in hell will know people in heaven. It's in the Bible. You will see your friends, your mates like this. You will see them. And now, so much to explain. I will close in due time, in Jesus' name. So, the gospel is eternal in nature. It has an eternal impact. And you see, because God lives forever, everything he does, he actually has a plan for it to be forever. Even the earth that will pass away, the Bible says a new earth will be created. Are you with me? So God has an eternal plan. Anything he does, he has an eternal plan with it. Are you with me? So, even though we transit out of this body, there is something called life after death. So even though one day we may put up this mortal body, you will still be alive. Are you getting this? Let me show you another text of the Bible that will make you think. Ephesians 3:21. The Bible says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Read on. World without end. What do you make of this? Throughout all ages. What are the ages? World without end. As far as we know from the scripture, it is only this earth age that will determine what will become of your eternal age. Is either, you know why I started with all those questions? Is the Bible true? Is either this Bible is not true? But if it is true, we have a lot to think about. Are you with me? And so, when God tells Adam, in the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. The death was both physical, was both mental, was both physical. Are you with me? Emotional, like I said, in the old translation, it will read, in dying you will surely die. And that's what has happened in the world. Look at all the depravity in the world. It is proof that man is dying. Man is becoming worse. Yes, are you with me? Yes, man is dying. In the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Man is dying and becoming worse and worse and worse and more depraved. And eventually, you will die physically. When you die physically, you will now go to hell and die forever and keep on dying. It's called eternal judgment. The effect of sin is eternal. And so, there is only one person that had eternity in himself. It's called God. God now became a man and died for us so that for eternity, anyone who believes in him has escaped that death. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And guess what? To further deliver us from death eternally, that is why he was buried. Because the Bible says when he was buried, he descended to hell. So, by his one descent into hell, he has gone to hell for all those who will believe in him. Hallelujah. So now, because Jesus went to hell for eternity, nobody that believes in him will go to hell. Are you getting this? So, on a basic level, because Jesus has died and gone to hell for me, I will no longer go to hell. Are you getting this? So, the death on the cross was the judgment of physical punishment and suffering. But you see, the burial represented the spiritual part of it. Yes, are you with me? Yes, he had to descend to hell to fulfill the righteous judgment for all those who sin against God. Yes, sir. So now, because he has gone to hell, as my substitute, I no longer have to go to hell.
Oh, glory! Thank you, Jesus.
So now, you have escaped millions and millions and millions of years of punishment simply because you believed. Are you seeing why the gospel is the biggest deal?
Yes, sir.
Tell me, I believe the gospel.
I believe the gospel.
So now, Jesus now comes and declares in John chapter 11, verse 25 to 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, the people he was talking to, did they not die physically? They died physically. But he knows what he's talking about is much more than physical death. Are you with me? Because you see, oh my God, even though you die physically, because you believe in him, at the last day you will be raised up with him forever. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm rushing it like this. I would have, everything I just said, I would have shown you text after text. Text, every part of it I would have shown you. That means, brethren, anybody, I'm bending now to say it so that you know how serious it is. That means, if you missed Christ, you missed everything. What is your car? What is your house? What is your money? What are your relationships? What is that marriage? What is that contract? Eventually, when a man dies, everything is gone. All that will count is the redemptive work of Christ. See, when the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? See, to be a Christian is to believe that radical idea. The only multiplier, the gospel and faith in Christ is the only multiplier that makes every other thing you made on earth count. So the reason why your giving or your properties on earth can count, remember when we talked about stewardship?
Yes, sir.
Is because you had faith in Christ and you are going to heaven. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If you are not saved, all of that counts for nothing. So now, because of Jesus, I have escaped eternal judgment forever. Hey, Jesus. See, let me ask. I won't do that. I wanted to ask if anybody has stayed in prison before. But we all experienced 2020 lockdown, right? How did it feel after 1 month in one place? We are talking about people will be judged forever. We just read it in Psalms 90, verse 4. 1,000 years is like the watch of the night. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, you know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall never perish, but will have everlasting life. You see, we know this text though, but it can become cliche.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It says, for God so loved. This was how God showed that he loved the world. You tell somebody, God loves you. Jesus died for you. You say, I want 2K. How that one help me? Who are they rise? He's thinking in terms of now. Are you with me? He's thinking in terms of the challenges he's facing now. Forgetting that this world is just nothing but a dot compared to the entire stretch of line that runs into eternity forever. Are you with me? So John 6 verse 40 says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day.
Hallelujah.
Say after me, I believe on Jesus.
I
will be raised on the last day.
And
I will live forever. I know I'm rushing the concept because of our time. But later, I would have loved to explain it more. Things like, there are still many essentials of the gospel. Things like assurance of salvation. The assurance, how do you know? All those things, security of salvation. So many things inside. The second thing I would have loved to talk about, but let me try. Okay, let me try. So, it was love and eternity, right? So, we have talked about eternity. The next thing is love. The question is, okay, all of these things that God did in Christ for me, why did he do it? Because on Sunday, we can talk about, like what we talked about on Sunday, we can talk about the fact that God is righteous, man is unrighteous, and God, the justice of God demands punishment for man, and man deserves to be punished, but God gave us a substitute. And many times, if we are not careful, we think about the substitute in terms of legality alone. I will use somebody as an example, and I saw come. So, let's assume you are a father, and your son goes somewhere, or God forbid, your son is driving and he jams somebody's car, breaks the bumper, scatters the door, and then you come and say, in fact, they have already arrested him. They are taking him to, we'll say police, the police station at we'll say zone 5. They are taking him there. And you come in there and say, ah, why did you take my son? He said, didn't you see what your son did? The right thing to do is to discipline him, to take him to the police station and say, okay, you know what? How much is the bill? 500,000. Take. Then you bring him back and say, you're a very stupid boy. Then you slap him. So did you pay for him? Did you pay for his mistake? Answer me. Was his mistake paid for?
Yes,
but now the boy has come back home, and every day you are reminding him of what he did. Any little thing he does, you slap him. You say, that's how you went to hit somebody's car the other day. So now, the boy knows that you paid for his mistake, but he does not feel loved. When you think about the gospel of Christ, you must not think about it in justice alone. You must think about it in love alone. Are you with me? You must think about it in love also, please. Are you with me?
Yes,
it is not justice alone. It is love also. It is not just about God's righteousness. It is love also. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Say after me,
it is love also.
In fact, according to the Bible, the love is the propelling force. Are you with me? The love was the propelling force behind the work that he did. God bless you. Let me show you in the Bible. That is why when you study the way Jesus preached the gospel, he did not just preach it in the terms of legality and justice and righteousness alone. He preached it in terms of mercy also. Love. Kindness. Let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 to 5. Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 5. Some of you are wondering, why is Pastor David just taking that? Let me tell you something. You see this thing I'm teaching? This is the engine behind everything I'm doing. I understand the gospel. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse, chapter 2 from verse 1 to 5. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, or better put, children ordained to wrath. Are you with me?
Yes,
children ordained to the wrath of God. But then he says, even as others, everybody verse 4, but God. Don't rush it. When you reach there, just shout, but God.
But God. But God.
So he told you everything that you are. You are ordained to rot. You are a child of disobedience. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You are deserving of death. You are deserving of judgment. But God.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me? But God. Read on. Who is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us. Say after me, great love. Say it after me, great love. For his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. Glory!
Glory!
I'll talk about that later. But the point here is, there was great love for you even when you were dead in sins. So he did not wait for you to be perfect first before he loved you. He didn't wait for you to get it first. So the demonstration of the love began even when you were still in sin. Even when you made that mistake, even when you strayed away, the love of God was demonstrated and revealed even in that state. Say after me, great love. Sometimes I wish I can I break out my heart and just pieces so you get what I'm trying to say. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Pastor, I'm struggling. Pastor, this addiction. I have said, God, I will not do it again, but I fell into it. I came out. I don't even know how to go back and tell God I'm sorry. Now, am I encouraging you to continue in sin? No. But you see, when the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, do you know what rich in mercy is? It means he has the mercy plenty. He cannot get tired of forgiving you. When somebody offends you, number one, the person says, I'm sorry. You say, take time. Oh. The person offends you again. You say, I'm sorry. Take time. Again. The person does it the third time. As the person is coming to say, I'm sorry. Say, keep your sorry to yourself. Do you know why? You have mercy, but you are not rich in it. You don't have it abundant. Are you with me? But God, who is rich in mercy, the reason why the mercy is abundant is because there is great love. So even the person you write off, God did not write him off. Because God is rich in mercy. So guess what? If God is rich in mercy towards you, if God has great love towards you, who are you to counsel yourself? Say after me, I'm loved by God. Say after me, God loves me.
God loves me.
Some of you, maybe you made an investment and you lost money. You beat yourself so much. You make yourself feel like you are the worst person. You are nothing good can come out from you. Don't believe that. That's the devil. Move on. Move on. He has great love for you. Some of you think that it is by how much you deal with yourself and make yourself feel bad that God is impressed with you. Can I tell you something? When you try to make yourself feel bad to get God to be impressed with you, that's when he's depressed about you. Say after me, God loves me. God wants you to boast in his love. This is the gospel. He loved you so much, he can't die for you. So the reason, the engine or the motivation behind all these investments in ensuring the gospel is made available is because you are loved by God. Say after me, I'm loved by God. Say after me, I believe in his love for me. Glory. I will stop here. Jump on your feet and just thank him. Thank him. He has given me a gift for eternity.